This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Have you heard of You Know the Place? It is one of our Boise State Public Radio podcasts, and it's devoted to exploring quirky and undiscovered businesses and places in Idaho. So today, we're seeing what the buzz is all about with a special presentation of the podcast. Let's follow along as co-hosts Lacey and Joel explore Idaho's bee industry.
How often do you get stung?
Depends. Season, the day, what we're doing. You know, I can go months without getting stung, and then all of a sudden, in a day, I'll get like 30 stings.
What? Don't tell me that.
Hi there. Welcome to You Know the Place, the show that explores the Idaho shops, clubs, businesses, and places that you always drive by but never seem to visit. I'm Lacey Daly.
And I'm Joel Wayne.
Welcome.
Welcome, y'all. What's on the docket, LD? What's on the docket, my co-producer, co-host?
We're busy.
Yes.
We are going to take a little trip to Eagle today.
Was busy a...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, biz or buzzy.
Okay.
We're going to a bee farm, steel apiaries. So,
okay. I'm going to guess here that this is not something you can't just show up at a bee farm.
I debated. I went back and forth. So I was doing a little research and then I stumbled upon steel apiaries and their website says, come on down to the farm. Hours, Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay.
But I was following them on Instagram and just, you know, following along on their stories. And they seemed really busy. They were in Montana. Mm. They seemed to travel a lot. So I did reach out.
Yeah.
They're expecting us.
Okay. I'm curious about, you know, what this experience is going to be like in terms of...
Be like.
I mean, are we putting on these, whatever they call those, suits?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So what's your central concern with the bee farm?
Can it be what's the buzz? Just kidding. I'm just kidding. No. It's actually really like what's the business behind a bee farm? I'm talking like how many bees make how much honey and how many people do you need on hand to manage that?
Sure.
I have no idea.
Can I piggyback on this a little bit? Can
yeah,
I bee back
sure.
a little bit on this
yeah.
one?
Come on.
Can we also ask too? I'm so curious if this is becoming more and more important if these...
I think it's a valid,
farms,
yeah.
You know, with the death of honeybees or the mm-hmm. absence of honeybees mm-hmm. In our world today with climate yeah. change and environment change, you know, too. So
that's important to us. I love them.
Yeah. Yeah. They're great, great little beings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not a pun. I was just trying to not say animals. They're great little things.
Are they insects?
Don't know.
Hmm. So anyhow, on their website, it says, Sean and Chris Steele have been raising honey and kids for almost 30 years. We now have over 4,000 hives that travel throughout Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Oregon, California, and Washington, pollinating crops and producing incredible honey and beeswax. What?
So many questions.
Right, exactly.
So many questions about that. Traveling?
Yeah.
Like it goes in the back of a minivan and they take it the tour on the road?
Sure. And what?
Steel apiaries and the bee farm? I don't, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious about that process uh-huh. in general, because that obviously seems to be a big part of their business. But yeah, just going to check out what the farm's like.
Mm-hmm.
Are the bees at the same place that they're making the honey? Does that happen on the same plot of land? I don't know.
Yeah. And then pollinating these specific, like, yeah. do they go to orchards or what are they pollinating?
Lots of questions.
Okay, great. Should we take a break? Head to the bee farm, get some bee juice?
Yeah.
All right. So we just pulled in
yeah.
to Steel Apiaries.
Yeah.
It honestly, it's like a neighborhood, an Eagle amongst houses here. And we just pulled down this little paved driveway. And it looks like this might even be where they live. There's like playground
yeah.
stuff, horses.
Huge piles of hay bales. It looks like a family farm.
Yeah.
And, it's not as if I'm seeing... It's like you don't know what to expect with these things, too. It's like, was I expecting to you know, pull straight up to there's just a bunch of beehives directly in front of us or something? I have no clue, really. And I don't know, too. It's like, are there a lot of hives here on site?
Right.
Or are there a bunch of off-site locations?
That's what...
Are they traveling? Are they touring?
I'm not sure.
You know?
Yeah. So I guess the only way to find out... And I think maybe we would go into this house-looking building here.
Mm-hmm.
And see if we can't find whomever we were corresponding with on Instagram
yeah.
and get this thing started, shall we?
Yeah, let's do
it. Let's do it.
We head over to the main building, which has steel apiaries and honey for sale signs in front. We don't get an answer at the door, so we try the number listed on one of the signs, and after a few minutes, someone emerges. This is Sean Steele, the owner of Steele Apiaries, who has zero clue who coordinated the visit with us on Instagram, or, to be fair, what Instagram is. But Sean is generous enough to chat with us until we figure it out.
How'd you get into the honey game?
You know, my dad did bees, and so he had some, but he worked full-time with Idaho Power. And us kids, there was about six or seven of us boys, went into business together, and we had the bees, and we had a roofing outfit, and we were farming about 1,000 acres. And we were all together, and it worked pretty good till half of them got married, and some of them didn't. And so then it kind of got sticky, but it was still pretty good. We were doing all right. And then back in the 70s, the housing market took a big crunch, and we had a whole bunch of people go broke.
Oh, yeah.
And owed us a lot of money. Maybe she's the one that set it up. Yeah, Rachel, did you set this thing up?
Mystery solved. We learned that Sean's son, Brig, is the one who coordinated the tour with us. Brig appears in short order with his brother-in-law, Goose, who were both held up moving a load of bees that just came in from North Dakota. If you're confused about that, we were too, so listen on. Brig talks first, with Goose chiming in the background.
Everything's coming back from Montana, North Dakota, Washington. This is when you're pretty much done making honey. And so everything will come home, and then we'll treat everything and make sure, you know, take out all of our bees that have died and try to
get them up to weight.
Yeah, fix as much as we can, and then we'll stick them in a building and hibernate them until about January. Then we'll go to California with them.
It's fun. It's kind of like you go through the hives and you look at them, and they're just fascinating creatures. And so when you have like a good hive, you just feel good about like what's going on, your work. It's kind of like a natural high. And then when you're going through like bad bees, you're just like so down. You're like, oh, what the crap went on? Like, you think about it at night, you can't sleep sometimes. It takes over your life.
Brig puts the annual losses into perspective as someone who operates a local apiary.
Last year we lost probably 50, 60% of our bees.
Yeah.
Last year. So, the national average is like 25 to 30. And it's kind of crazy because if you think about it, like, if it was cows or horses or, I mean, if somebody lost 60% of their livestock, it's like...
Yeah.
It'd be insane.
Yeah.
We ask if they believe climate change is the culprit, and the answer is partly, but there are a bunch of other things working against bees, too.
Loss of habitat seems pretty big. I mean, Idaho used to be, I think it still is, the 10th most honey-producing state, but there's so many beekeepers here in the area, the bees don't actually produce that much honey here in the Treasure Valley. You know, you're not getting as much as you would back in the day or something, and then... Just a lot of the farm grounds are getting developed into houses
people spray the edges, everything, all the weeds, they make honey on all these different type of weeds that
like
blossom.
Purple loosestrife used to be an obnoxious weed and stuff that they tried to get rid of.
Yeah, thistles.
Thistles they can make honey off of, and it's obnoxious.
So you're telling me,
but nowadays it's like if your fence lines aren't sprayed, and like if you have weeds all over your place, like you know, it's like look at this guy.
Yeah. So,
but you can get fined. Yeah, you mentioned HOAs. Yeah. You can get fined for some of that stuff. And then the same thing. I mean, the city's going through and doing that as well, right?
Spraying,
So I have a question, a dumb question. I'm one of those people that plants for bees because I just know that bees are struggling and I like them. But I actually know very little about them. So what are the chances that the bees that are coming to my house are actually, like, going to a beekeeper to make honey? Like, do they make honey on their own?
So I would say a majority of bees in the Treasure Valley, somebody owns them. Almost all the bees in the valley are going to be beekeepers.
And since there is all these new things that are harming the bees, or the bees are having, a hard time making a living, I mean, we baby them. Like, we're in them. Every month, every couple of weeks, we're trying to go back and look at our bees and make sure they're okay. So if it's a hive that's just gone by itself, it's probably not.
There's some wild ones that they survive, you know, for a couple of years, but most cases they're not going
to
make it.
Brig grabs some bee suits and we jump in the car to follow he and Goose to the honey extraction plant a few miles down the road. The extraction plant is an aluminum-sided warehouse in the middle of juniper and sagebrush fields down a private dirt road. Inside, they begin the tour, first showing us buckets of tea they feed the bees brewed from a white oak bark, but not before LD asks a few really simple questions.
Honey. Like, what is honey?
Yes.
What? Like, I don't get it. I understand that bees pollinate flowers and they make honey, but I don't get it. It's not bee poop, right? Like,
no, honey. Bee throw up, basically.
Oh, okay.
It's the bee nectar. So they'll get the nectar from the flower.
Yeah, it's the flower. It's the juice the flower makes. And so they'll go in and they'll, certain plants make different kinds of nectar. So you have different kinds of honey.
Bees taking it from the flower.
Uh-huh.
And putting it in the hive?
Yep, they'll put it in the hive.
But well, like,
their body
the bee...
first does something, breaks it down.
Okay, so like nobody could do this but bees.
Yeah, no.
Like,
yeah.
You can't use a machine
to
extract this.
No, they have
this.
A special body that breaks it down. A
special body.
Changes it, you know.
So, they bring it back to the hive, but, like, are bees only on one type of plant, or do they, like...
No.
No, they'll get on everything. And that's anything. Why people, some people will be like, well, what plant did this come from? And we're like, well,
okay.
Millions like, of plants.
Why
don't know.
Why does the color look different?
Yeah.
Well, when we ship our bees out to get sweet clover, it's mostly just sweet clover, so we say it's sweet clover,
right.
But if there's, like, a thistle or something, it's going to have thistle in
right.
it, too.
Right.
It just doesn't have as much.
It's just the majority of what they're... Okay, gotcha.
Next, they show us the hot room, where the honey is warmed and begins its first step in the extraction process. I feel like I should also note the smell in this room. It's incredibly dense and earthy, like nothing I've ever experienced before. It's like the smell of mold and boiling sugar mixed together.
And we'll put the honey in here and just heat it up so it's like 90s. We'll just keep this hot. We call it a hot room.
Why? Just because it's easier to
it's
work
easier
with?
It's easier to extract, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
They show us a typical honey box next with frames that are full of Idaho honey, which we're able to sample.
So that's what it'll come into this building. It'll come in just like this.
And this is Idaho.
Huh. So it's a little bit darker.
You can taste it.
What?
But see how it doesn't really flow? It's kind of, it's because it's not warmed up.
Because this, yeah, you're not warming
we're
it up right now.
Right
yeah.
Now,
no. Then they show us the rest of the extraction process.
So you'll start here.
Yeah.
Someone will scrape the wax off the top of the frames because the bees will build wax as they're making honey because it's the same thing. When they're making honey, they make wax. So that's why we have the bee capper, just to take the top layer. Some people use a hot knife. One guy will stand here. He'll throw them on two at a time, three at a time, just as fast as this guy can keep up. And then you just stick them in here, stick them and push them until this whole thing's full. It takes about 20 to 30 frames in each basket.
Here, slide it to me. I'll slide it down to me. And then I'll slide it into this machine. This is called an extractor, this one here. And then
it's called centrifugal force.
Yep.
Oh, it just spins.
Yep, and then it'll just spin them out. So then it'll all drain, and it'll go over through this machine that kind of heats it up, heats up the wax a little bit more, kind of get that wax ready to come out. And it'll come over here to this machine.
Yeah. What time of year is this, like, the busiest for you in terms of the honey?
Summer. So we
July,
just quit.
August. Yeah.
Oh, so it's hot in here
just,
then. Are you dying in here then?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll open the doors and have fans.
Because you already have the hot room there then, too. And then...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
also don't have the wasps coming in?
Yeah, we have wasps all over.
Oh god, this would be my nightmare.
But see, you want to pull the honey and not take bees.
Any bees.
You want to leave the bees. But when you're in a hurry and you're behind and stuff, sometimes people pull bees.
You don't.
Sometimes people pull bees. Yeah,
sometimes they do, but you don't.
We extracted some honey for a guy from
gosh.
Washington. He came down and my dad was like, "Dude, this is crazy." Like, there was bees. It was boxes of bees. And so we have to put them in the hot room, and then you're pulling them out. And they're you don't wear a suit. It's already hot. And so there was bees everywhere. It was bad. Everybody was mad. Everybody was getting stung.
Like I said, you get stung maybe 40 times in a day.
And we'll be back with the second part of this special presentation of You Know the Place, a podcast from Boise State Public Radio. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Let's return to Still Apiaries and Eagle. When we left off, our You Know the Place podcast was exploring the business of beekeeping. Turns out, honey is not where the money is. It's in trekking bees cross-country to pollinate trees in states like California. Here's You Know the Place co-hosts Joel and Lacey.
Like, what's the percentage then for kind of what the business is in terms of honey versus pollinating, you know, shipping the bees around. I'm sure it fluctuates every year, right?
And are you making more money probably, on honey or?
No, pollination is our biggest money
maker. It's probably 30-70 probably.
Mm. Well, they say that pollination pays for your business to like stay in business, mm. pay for your employees, your machinery, your upkeep and everything. And then honey is kind of like, might be some of the money you have left over to invest or do more stuff with.
Then we take a look at several pallets of beeswax, another component of the apiary business.
And then over in this corner is where we melt our wax down. So all those cappings and stuff in the wax separator, we'll throw the wax into big barrels. So we'll throw water in there and get it to double walled, heat up the water, and the water heats up the other water inside, melts the wax, and then it comes out like this. It's real clean and nice looking, whereas then you have some darker, dirtier wax. And
it'll just have
like
more dirt in it.
What do people use it for? All different kinds of things,
oh,
or they just
there's
do
so much?
Yeah, sticks,
lip balm.
Oh,
hair
I guess
products,
that's true. Yeah, yeah. It looks like bird's
quilters bees. Quilters use it on their thread. They'll stick their needle through.
They start making like covers. They have like these covers soap. That they dip in wax, and then you cover
like
your
a saran wrap
it's like
cover.
Saran wrap, but it's wax.
But
oh,
it's wax.
I've seen
wax
yeah.
is an antibacterial.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually seen those.
Oh, I have one of those.
There's like a million things you can do with beeswax.
Yeah. Huh.
We wrap up in the extraction warehouse and drive a few miles down the road to one of the bee yards where a number of hives are kept. We do a quick costume change, me into a brand new beekeeper suit and Joel into an older one with a name sewn onto the chest. Patty.
Gloves. You can keep your hands in
here.
Yeah. Just keep your hands in, and then you can wear those if you want. You want to zip it up.
Pockets.
Your patty.
Yeah.
You can wear the patty.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, as I want to be, Patty.
So my dad went to Montana and forgot his suit, so he took her suit. She had it embroidered, and so he still wears it like all over the place. We'll be in California.
Really?
You know, there's like hundreds
how do I put
of beekeepers, and he's wearing his.
Got it. Right I know. Here. I'm not even helping. I'm just watching you struggle.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, Patty.
But so everybody makes fun of him because he has Patty's
That's funny.
Suit on.
In the background, you can hear Goose getting a smoker going, which is a handheld bellow system that looks a bit like a tea kettle, which emits tiny puffs of smoke out of its mouth.
You're getting smoke ready now.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Just burlap.
What do you mean it's just burlap?
Burlap sack cut up.
Oh, okay.
Here, I can... So just
burlap. And it just smolders.
Yeah, so it's just easier for us to light it. Super easy to light. Puts off a good smoke.
We get our outfits fully zipped up, hoods pulled up over the headphones, gloves on. Then we head out into the bees.
So you work a lot with farmers and stuff because we don't have all the land to put these bees on and stuff, so you get to know people, and they either want to help the bees or they know you some reason, and so we usually give out honey in return. See, so you can smoke them.
You smoke, oh, and then you go through the hole in the box, okay.
Well, you don't have to, but those are the guard bees.
Uh-huh.
And so they kind of, they're a little more defensive, protecting
like
and
here.
Stuff.
Let's...
So then
when
you pop it and see how they're on the lid.
Whoa.
So we already scraped these lids with wax. This one obviously didn't get scraped that well. So there's your hive. So the same with the bees as we do it when we're getting ready. Usually your outside ones are honey, and then you'll go pollen or honey right here. And then these center ones are more brood. And your queen's more likely to be in here. She's usually not on your honey ones, but she can be. So when you're going through a hive, you usually want to start somewhere on the outside because it's kind of a tight space, just so you don't squish or roll your queen on accident when you're pulling that first one out. And so the queen's not on this one. We just replaced some of their honey because this one didn't have enough, so we fed them a couple days ago, and they just put it in there, stored it, see?
Oh, yeah.
A little syrup. See how light it is?
Yeah.
And then they have pollen right there, different colors of pollen. And so that's your typical outside frame. And then you just kind of go through it. During these colder times, she's usually in the top box because that's where more your heat is. She's pretty much shut down, but this one, she's still going. So now that we fed her again, you have to get the right angle, but there's a little stick.
It almost looks like a piece of pencil lead that's white.
So at the very bottom of there, there's like a little piece of mechanical pencil lead. It's a little egg that she just laid.
Oh.
And so when you want to make sure you have a queen in your hive, you either look for a little piece like that. Mm-hmm. You don't actually want the larva because the larva could be a couple days, weeks old. Hmm. Whereas that one, you know, is super fresh and she's laying and she's working and she's a good queen. So we know this mm-hmm. hive has a queen because we see that. Or you actually see her herself.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Maybe. I can just tell that you guys do this all the time. Because I'm sitting here in a full suit of armor.
It feels really disconcerting for you.
And, like, I know that I'm protected, but I'm still like, why is there yellow?
That's pollen.
Oh.
Mm. So he went out. Ah. Did you guys see that goldrod as we came in?
The what?
The plant, the bush that had the yellow on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll go get some pollen off of that, and they'll make a little bit of honey off of that. And so this area is actually pretty dry. It's not that great for...
Yeah. Look at, you have some antelope in our bee yard.
It's not that great for actually having bees here all the time. But once we ship everything back here home from out of state, then we need to have... just places to put them. So we wouldn't keep bees here all the time just because it's so not the right habitat.
Not quite ideal for it.
If there was more plants and stuff that they could work on, then great. I mean, there's plenty of space. It's just there's no honey-producing plants out here.
Yeah.
So that's one hive. And this is what we want our hives to look like right now.
Yeah, it's a good
This is a good hive full of bees.
Yeah.
Every frame's just packed.
Look at those guys, orange and yellow. Mm-hmm.
Every frame's just packed top to bottom with bees.
So how many bees then are in the...
About 50,000.
50,000?
Somewhere in there, 30 to 50,000.
Then Brig spots the queen.
Got her. I got her.
You got her. You did it.
You did.
Oh, I see her.
She's easy.
Yeah,
she
she's got a big head.
Right here.
Right there.
See how she's longer?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So they'll get to... Some of them have dots on them. Some
Some
queen breeders will put a dot on her back.
You see that black mark on her back?
So then you'll... Yeah.
And he and Goose tell us a bit about how the queen acts and how the others respond to her. Also, male bees, deadbeats.
But see how they kind of face her? See how all three of those were facing her and watch her move around? See those two are following her and that one starts facing her?
They kind of turn and face her and she'll
come. Like, that one's on top of her. She'll get mad and like kind of, I've seen them where they get kind of like get out of my way and they'll start like pushing them away. But
yeah, she's doing good.
Yeah, she looks nice.
She's an older queen. You see how her wings are kind of tattered.
Yeah.
And eaten up a little bit. And she's kind of shinier.
Hmm. Look at that. He's like trying to get him. She's like, get out of here.
I'd say she's probably like... a year or two.
Wow.
And the only bees that work and really do stuff are the females. They're the only ones that can sting you. They go grab all the nectar, all the pollen.
Yeah, wait. The male bees don't do
that. The male bees are only good to make babe.
Wait, so all these worker bees are female?
Yep, all those bees are female.
Yeah. Did you know that?
No.
Yep, they're all females.
Yep,
I assume they were all males.
Everything you just seen on there was female.
Oh.
And then,
so the males are out.
But then when times get tough, all these females, they'll kick the males to the bottom and they'll kick them out and they'll die.
Yeah. Because they don't do anything.
So when times are good, the males, they'll feed them, they'll keep them around, you know, and do everything. And they'll go out and do their mate if they're lucky. Other than that, they just kind of hang around the house and feed and fly around.
And so that's why it's like they don't have enough feed for all these male bees, so they'll just start kicking them out.
And so that's why you don't see any males in there right now.
Well, I mean, I assume they were all males.
Yeah, no, those are all females. Yeah,
gotcha. So male bees don't come to my flowers?
Nope.
Oh.
What are they
male
doing?
Male bees don't have
stingers. They're not doing anything, apparently.
They pretty much just hang around.
And
what is that shirt? They make a drone shirt that's like,
eat, mate, die,
or something.
We finish up in the bees and finally head back to the farm to sample some honey. Joel buys a Steel Farms hat, and we thank Goose and Brig for their time. And because we've been in and out of the car so much, we leave the recap for the studio. Here we are, post-bee farm. What are your first thoughts?
Talking with Sean, the owner of the farm, I just honestly wanted to post up and hear more about his life. He's the one who transitioned the family farm over to honey. He's grown it into this business that crisscrosses the states. And he's obviously very generous with his time. We showed up and he had no idea, comes out there, you know. And we didn't include this, but he was open about he has MS and uses a walker and is still plugging away as the only person who has a commercial driver's license on the farm.
Yeah.
He was just a really interesting guy to me.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I thought they all were very giving of their time. Obviously, Sean mm-hmm. not expecting us, but Brig and Goose as well. Goose had no idea what was going on, and I believe we caught him as he was trying to heat up lasagna for lunch. And Brig is just like, come on, get in the truck. We're going. We're taking these guys around.
Yeah. So what about your central concern?
The business of bees.
Yeah.
You know, like how many bees make how much honey and how lucrative is that?
Sure.
I just don't know what all goes into it. And I have to say, I learned a lot more than I thought. There's kind of like the three tenets of beekeeping. It's the honey, the beeswax, and then the pollinating. And I actually had no idea about the pollinating business, and I had no idea that it was kind of the money-making part of beekeeping.
Right.
I would have thought it was honey.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
So, final takeaways?
I guess two things. One, on the whole, I end up feeling this soft spot for small family farmers, just because it's a tougher and tougher gig in our world right now. I guess I just feel myself wanting to support businesses like this that are facing steeper opposition, both, you know, corporate buyouts, environmental concerns, these increasing environmental concerns, and otherwise. Actually, even that very night, I took the two different kinds of honeys, and we were meeting somebody for a birthday party thing, and I took them along, and we did, like, this impromptu tasting where, like, 12 people,
yeah.
And they, like, all dug it. It was really, really cool to go through and do, which maybe feeds into the second part of it. And this is going to sound like I'm a little kid in its first biology class. Bees are amazing.
Yes.
Bees are amazing. How they organize the hive, how they produce wax and honey, how they pollinate, how they guard the queen, how they remove dead bees out of the hive, and male bees aren't doing anything when times are tough, and how they keep it clean. They kept talking, Goose and Brig kept talking about being in the bees. I don't know if anybody else noticed that, but in the bees, you know, we're in the bees. And it's one of those terms that's like, that's kind of magical, you know?
I've been smiling this whole time. I guess my final takeaway was I didn't realize how much I would enjoy it. You're smiling now, too.
I know. So happy.
The bees.
We're in the bees, metaphorically.
I think that it filled a lot of buckets for me personally or selfishly. I think that I do really enjoy observing things in their mostly natural habitat. And then I love learning about processes and seeing behind the scenes. And this did absolutely that. And now I don't have a problem buying steel apiary honey. Like, let's be honest, honey is not cheap. But now I kind of understand more about it.
What and
like
goes you said, into it and
getting
what
attached to the family and seeing what they're going through, I want to help.
Yeah. Help, but then also, too, you're getting such a cool product, such a good product then on the back end, too. So, yeah, let's go be in the bees.
That was a special presentation of You Know the Place, a podcast from Boise State Public Radio. And make sure you tune in tomorrow at noon right here on Idaho Matters for a special hour of election analysis. We will dig into the races that are happening all across the state today and what the results mean for Idaho. It's Tuesday. Get out there and vote if you haven't yet. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. We'll see you back here tomorrow.